All right, we're hearing a lot about what I suppose could be described as a health tax, accessing services in Dublin, Galway, Sligo, and elsewhere. You know, fees and inconvenience we have to face that others in other parts of the country don't. Even if they are removed from these places, there might be better transport links, even trains, more regular bus services and what have you. Brendan can give us an insight into his family's experience. Brendan, thanks very much for your time. I know it's not easy chatting on the radio, but it's really important to get these stories out, and I'm very grateful for you to you for that.
No bother, Greg. Thank you.
Right. Now, this focuses on your child and accompanying your child for checkups down the country. What's your situation?
Well, fortunately enough, okay, we're not too bad. It's not just directed. I'm not just directing it on myself. It's more what I've seen myself. Been down in Dublin, and I've been down myself as well. And it's more, there's a lot of people that has to go down maybe 3 or 4 times a month, maybe more. And just the way I would look at it is, a man says, as a child goes down in the bus to Dublin, that's 32 euros, which is not really an issue. If your child has to go to Dublin, that's the way it is. Unfortunately enough, we can manage not so bad. But I just feel for these people that has to take children down. They're taking them down to Dublin maybe every week, and it's bound to be tough for women and even men. It's bound to be tough when they don't want to drive because they're nowhere to park in Dublin. They have to use the bus. They land down in Dublin, and as a man says, there's no courtesy for them. There's no courtesy. At the end of the day, you have a pensioner, which is 100%, has his bus pass. If the pensioner requires care, his care is a bus pass, which is 100%. A student gets a discount, which is 100%, because they need it, obviously. I just can't understand how, I don't know now, but I would like to think what people would think about what a sick child not be entitled to. A child that has to go up and down to Dublin, it's not her choice, it's not the wife's choice, it's not the parents' choice, but they have to go up and down the country, like at the end of the day, to Dublin, which is the only answer, because they're brilliant down there, and it's not an issue at all. But I think a wee bit of compassion, as a man says, a wee bit of courtesy that the child should be. You know, I think a child that has long-lasting medication to get in Dublin, as a man says, I think they'd be entitled to some wee discount when it comes to travel itself, you know.
Yeah, and you're really talking you're talking really about the average family here, often working, whereby they're just keeping their head above water, but they can't necessarily face 100 quid a week on buses.
Exactly. And I'll tell you another one is, you land down in Dublin, and you land down at the bus station, and as a man says, you go 8 hours in the morning, you get the bus, you have to get maybe another bus, you have to get this and that, which is not a problem. They go, and thank God it's there, thank God. And listen, if it was America where your child, anybody at all would go, it doesn't matter, it's not that case. But as a man says, I'm sure people are all aware that you have to be booked online on the bus. Mm. So, for instance, when you go down to the hospital, they can't help it, because they're busy, as a man says, they're held back. But you have the bus booked back, maybe there was a girl down 10:30, went down at 10:30 for an appointment. She wasn't seen to 1 o'clock, which can't be helped. But she had the bus online booked for 3:30 coming home. But only that, she didn't get back to the bus station, and she missed that bus. So she would have had to pay again, only thankfully the company she was with, the bus driver later on, for there were enough seats. But if that was this time of year now, airport travel or everything now, it's no good to you.
Yeah, and I think
at the end of the day, you have to know how long you're going to be with a child in the hospital to travel with a bus. Like there's a brave few people that I would be nervous myself driving in Dublin on my own, because I'm not used to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people nervous of driving. I think if there was a wee bit of push to make the bus sound easier, a wee bit that more affordable, I think people could... No, they would push them more to do it. And not only that there, I think the parents deserve to, and the Wayne deserves to be in a relaxed humour going on that journey. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I just think with all the allowances and with all the with everything else that's going on, I don't think a sick child should be held for it. I think a sick child should be entitled to it. The way I see it is, you land down the bus with your child, and you're sitting, I've seen it. I've seen the same children going down, I've been up and down myself, and I've seen it, and I've been talking to people that's going up and down every week with their child. And at the end of the day, that child's paying the same money as the man that's heading to the airport on holidays, which is not a problem with me. But it just doesn't... I don't think the compassion's there, and you know, I just don't think there's enough. I don't know what do you think yourself, but
yeah, no, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to agree with you, Brendan. I mean, it's easy to prove if someone needs continued care, isn't it? You know what I mean? If a
all you have to do when you go to Dublin, if you have to stay, all you have to do. There was a hotel, there's a few, but I know one in particular, we've used it ourselves, the Lewis Fitzgerald. All you do is you show your letter that you have an appointment at the hospital, they automatically give you a reduced rate. Mm-hmm. You know, they look after you. They just make it more affordable. You know, we are fortunate enough, we are lucky. We are lucky, don't get me wrong, but I know plenty of people that aren't lucky. They've gone down there to Dublin, and at the end of the day, you're driving down to Dublin. I've talked to people, there's not even many places if you had a very sick child, there's not even many places that has toilets to suit you between here and Dublin. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, and some of the bus companies now, that they go on different buses and stuff like that there, I mean, it's an argument to get them to stop to get the toilet on the way home. Witnessed that, I've been there. Like. And I just think it's something that should be looked about, don't I?
All right, Brendan, listen, thank you very much for that. That's Brendan. And, you know, Brendan, as you say, you know, they're lucky enough that they have the resources at this time that they can sort of absorb the regular transport costs to bring a child up and down from Dublin. Maybe you're listening and Brendan is talking about you, and there's many of you, I'm sure, that... And it would be interesting for us to get an insight into what it's like if you do have to, and it doesn't have to be exclusively with a child, but if you do have to make regular trips up and down from Dublin, you know, what's it like? And, you know, there's an awful lot of single parents out there, and maybe single parents with, you know, multiple children, and they have to leave younger children to take an older child up and down and call on family to assist in relation to that, and maybe have to make decisions about what they don't spend on money on to afford buses. I don't know. It's bound to affect people. Brendan's spoken to them. He knows himself. He'd be that person only for he has the resources to not be, but there's not everyone going to be that lucky. What do you think? Are you affected by that? 086 60 25,000, or call us on 07491 25,000. A caller says, we went to Galway via the Friends of Letterkenny, driven by Marley's. It was such a great experience. It's a free service Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Martin was the driver and stopped wherever we needed to. He reassured us throughout the journey. It was amazing. We are old age pensioners, and he said he wouldn't leave without us. Morning, Greg. Them guys that jumped that lad in Letterkenny are not men. They're cowards. But Tony is right. They'll get away with it and nothing will be done. Well, you know, this is where faith in policing can... If there is a sense, whether it's true or not, but if there is a sense that people can commit crime and get away with it, that's a problem. That does more to damage faith in An Garda Síochána than an awful lot would. A caller says, a language other than English, so we're looking for Gaelic speakers then, because according to the government, our new foreign arrivals have nothing to do with the rise in crime. Maybe the appeal looking for the culprit should be made in a language other than English. How many people actually... Oh, this is an interesting one. How many people actually believe that Katy Perry went to space? It all seems like a farce. Her coming out again was like opening a barn door. There was no way that thing actually went into space and through the stratosphere. Well, I mean, you know... I presume it happened. You know, they don't go actually into space. It's 100 kilometres above Earth. It is sort of... It's classed as space, but, you know, you're not bumping into satellites, you know, that sort of way. But this, the pod they were in seemed to be descending very, very quickly, very, very quickly, until the parachutes kicked in, much quicker than someone might in a parachute jump, for an example. But they all seemed nonplussed about that and got out as they got in looking grand. Could it be kept a secret if it wasn't real? I don't know. I mean, it's all there, isn't it? It's all videoed. But there are people, quite a few people, that believe it didn't happen. I don't know why. Hi, Greg. Can you give a shout out to all the young ones taking part in the quiz in Milford this evening? It's the county final for community games. Well done, everyone. Good luck to all. I'm sure there's a bit of nerves for something like that there. So everyone taking part in the quiz in Milford, have a great time. Enjoy it. And it's organised by the Donegal Community Games. Hi, Greg. Would you announce that there's a table quiz in the Purty House or Melton tonight? It's at 8 p.m. All are welcome. And the proceeds there are for Relay for Life. Why is the CCTV in the town not being used to identify these offenders? Surely we'd be better at tracing where they came from and where they went after the incident. That's exactly what the Garda investigation will be doing. I've no doubt about that. But, you know, sometimes with this CCTV, you know, they point a telescope into the sky and, you know, take an image or an image of Mars or something like that there, and it's like 10 times better quality than some of these CCTV. But hopefully it's good enough to find who's responsible. A shocking assault in Letterkenny. I hope the attackers get a severe tongue lashing, a slap on the wrist from the courts, as is usual in Donegal. Some of these are tongue-in-cheek, obviously. I'm too frightened to shop in Letterkenny now for fear of being robbed. As a mobility scooter user, I'm sick of being walked in front of or jostled in the supermarkets by people who merely laugh if I say anything about the manners. If that man, what that man says is true, then these men should be deported straight away, but we've already heard that Letterkenny is being controlled. By the way, just because someone speaks with a language other than English, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not Irish-born or what have you. You know, one can't jump to conclusions, but that was Tony's story, and maybe that information might be useful in apprehending whomever from wherever they're from is responsible. On the programme now, we have Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Craig.
We were talking yesterday about Undertaken, and we saw a video of it, and it was absolutely shocking. And then we were sent other videos, actually, of similar behaviour. Crazy stuff that's going on. You had a similar experience on the roads, did you?
I had a similar experience. It was on the 1st of April. Mm-hmm. I was coming back from Derry. My son's girlfriend and the wee 8-week-old baby were in the car. And a lorry was, we noticed a lorry behind us just there at the Cosh, is it the Cosh bar you call, mm-hmm. before you come out. And there was beeping off the horn. And Dervla had said to me, is that lorry beeping at you? I said, oh no, I don't think so. I said, I think he's probably just beeping to someone. But then when we got to the bridge end roundabout, he was still beeping. So I don't know where he wanted me to go. Like, there was nowhere to pull in. Did he want to pass or what did he want? Mm-hmm. But after we got off the bridge end roundabout, and like, he sat on my bumper. He was so, so close to me.
Wow. What direction were you going, Julie, from about, there?
I was going from bridge end heading towards Newton.
Right, okay.
So he just was beeping the horn, sitting really close. I was doing about 90 kilometres. I would always go a bit under the speed.
Yeah.
Obviously, the baby's in the car. And he proceeded to pass me out on the hard shoulder on an Arctic lorry. The lorry was up as far as my passenger door. We had video footage. It's not the best video footage because we were panicked. I just wanted to get away because all I could think about was the babies in the back right beside him. If he had something or has to swerve or lose his control at the speed he was doing, you know, I just would like to think what the outcome would have been. But he proceeded to do this the whole way up the road. He was just driving like a lunatic.
So it's not that, was he trying to intimidate you by driving on the whole hard shoulder alongside of you, or did he try and pass you on the hard shoulder, Julia, or what?
I think he was trying to pass me.
Right.
Well, I'm not sure. Maybe he was trying to intimidate me, but I was going fast enough. For him driving an Arctic lorry, he was probably breaking the speed limit.
Well, he's at 80.
They have a reduced
80's,
speed.
80's his limit, so he's, if you're doing 90... you shouldn't be a bother to him.
Not at all. Like, do you know, the way he behaved, it's just not the way you behave on the roads.
Don't mention it because we just would have to check it out, right? Because different lorries have different sign writings and stuff on it. But do you know which company this
I contacted the company.
Right, okay.
I won't mention any names. I spoke to the company. It's not the man who owns the company's fault. But, like, I was shaken with anger. I turned off. You know the roads you turn off that can take you over to Clay just before you come to Newton?
I do, right.
Well, I turned off that road because I was going straight to the barracks in Newton Cunningham. That's where I was going.
Good woman.
And he happened to turn off behind me.
Oh, geez, right.
And he went the Clay way. He went the Clay way. I went on the other wee road and I went straight to the barracks in Newton. And it was locked. So I says, well, go on home. I contacted the company of the van or of the lorry. We got the number plate. We got everything. Like, sure, you know yourself. Mm-hmm. The company names advertised all over the lorry. He could see that the passenger was videoing him.
Didn't care at all.
He didn't care.
What did whoever you got through to in the company have to say?
I'll tell you what he said. So I knew it wasn't the first time. I just called out the number plate. Mm. I called out the mech. I says, "Do you own this lorry?" He says, "What was he doing? Was he overtaken?"
Wow.
So obviously,
it's
not first complaint, you know. Yeah. I went up to the guards. I showed them the footage. I didn't make a statement. The guards made note of it. They were going to contact the company.
Mm.
And that's kind of as far as I went, you know.
Yeah.
So if the guards decide to go down, probably, I'm sure they would have given a warning. But now the man from the company was a lovely man and he phoned me back and he said he got rid of him. He said he was a lorry man for 35 years, the owner. He says he's not going to kill anybody working for my company. And, you know, if he had lost control of that lorry that day, he definitely, we would have been dead, the size of the lorry and my wee car.
But you again, know, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you kept in control of the vehicle. It'd be very easy to panic and find yourself under that trailer.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing that I was able to stay and not get panicked. I sped up to get away from him when he was really, really, that was when he was really close to us. That was the scariest part. When he was up at my back passenger door, so he was in the middle of my car, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's how far he was up, and I sped to get away from him. And I probably broke the speed limit to get away from him.
And then when you turned to Calais and he followed you, it must have been like something out of a horror film.
It was scary, and I was wondering, and he was still beeping the horn. The beeping and beeping and beeping off the horn. And it's just unfortunate. I have a new car now. I had changed my car and I never got my dash cameras up. I have a front dash camera and a back dash camera, but I didn't get them up in the car, unfortunately.
All right, okay. But anyway, it's your evidence. Your evidence was accepted, and I think it's better someone like that's not on the road. Sometimes people sound the horn or make a gesture in the moment, and 10 seconds later they regret it. But this was prolonged intimidation of you.
This was the whole way on that road. It was just the fact that the wee baby was in the car. And then, as you say, I didn't know, is he following me now?
Mm.
Is he going to follow me wherever I go? You know, all I could think about was Dervla in the car, a young girl with a young baby, you know. And she was very upset about it too, you know.
Of course.
Her baby, it wasn't my baby, you know. So she was very distressed about the whole situation.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
But that's why I passed it on.
Thanks for the story, Julie. And listen, I'll tell you...
No bother.
It's good to remind people that there's lots of eyes out there and there's lots of cameras and people really need to be careful, especially professional drivers.
And the guard has said to me, if it happens again, ring us straight away. Mm. And I didn't even think of that. He says, we could have a car in the area. He says, always ring that in straight away. We could possibly have someone in the area that will get out to you. So that's another,
but you're looking,
another
you
thing
were,
just to say.
You were trying to keep
I
the
couldn't
car
think
straight.
Of any of that.
And yeah,
yeah.
That's easy said. But all right, listen, thanks, Julie. I'm glad these are all home
Thank
safe.
Thank you so much
Take
for
care.
Having
Bye-bye.
Me. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Julie. Jerry's with us too. Jerry, you're on about dangerous driving. Good morning to you.
How are you doing? You all right?
I'm good, Jerry. There seems to be actually, I don't know if it's just coincidence, but it's roads between Derry and into Donegal that seems to be the focus of a lot of these issues as of late. But anyway, Jerry, what's your experience, your contribution?
Yeah, well, I was over on holiday. We just got back last night. My mother was from Derry. My dad was from Rathmullen. So I'm 56 now. I've been coming over since I was 8. And first brought my wife over about 20 years ago. And she said it was really refreshing to see that on the roads you've got the wee hard shoulder there and people would your tractors and your cars, if somebody wanted to get past, they'd pull over briefly and let cars that are going a wee bit faster go. And that's what it's always been like, as far as I'm aware. But I've just noticed there on the road from, we were stopping up north of Maville near Struve, and on the way down into Derry, I noticed cars undertaking us and cars undertaking, like, racing, undertaking and overtaking cars at the same time. So if you got a bit shocked and you went to the left or you went to the right, then, you know, you could have a car either side of you. And I never really sort of saw what age these people were, but whatever they are, they're not in the right mind anyway, driving like that.
Well, Jerry, you've had an opportunity with the way you visit of dipping in and out of sort of the driving behaviour. I think that's fair to say. You have noticed, have you, a change in the quality of driving over the years? I don't want to put words in your mouth. Have you?
No, not really. It's always been, I think it's always been very respectful sort of driving. Like I say, using the hard shoulder there to let people across. I mean, my wife, she's always got like a bit of a, she's always got a bit of an annoyance when she's driving over here on the roads, and the tractors who can do 30-odd mile an hour, they just sit there with cars behind them. Whereas over in Donegal and on the way to Derry, she said, crikey, they're pulling over.
They're courteous, yeah.
And stuff like that. And it's always been like that. But I've always noticed, like, some of the younger sort of kids, you know, they put the foot down, they whiz past you, but that hard shoulder there, I always just go, well, you know, if they're in a rush to get somewhere and I don't want to get involved in any sort of accident because they've left the house too late or showing off to somebody else in the car. But it's the first time I've noticed this time where people are, whether it's a new thing, where they're using that hard shoulder to show off and undertake and have a car overtake at the same time.
Wowzers. Okay, I mean, that's scary stuff. And you had that, sorry, I missed that in the beginning of this. So you're sitting, as you would, on the left side of the road, on the left-hand side of the road, in the middle of your section of the road. And are you saying someone, you had a car's overtake and undertake at the same time around you?
No, not myself. I saw this, it was like a black Audi. It come flying up behind me, and I just sort of glanced in the mirror, and so I just pulled over, put my hand out and waved him past.
Yeah.
And he went past me, and then another car went past me. And we brought a couple who'd never been over to Ireland. Well, they've been to Dublin, but that's not the real Ireland.
Not proper,
like,
Ireland.
Going into Temple Bar and stuff. So I said, you want to come up to Donegal? So he was in the car and he said, oh, crikey, what's that? And I said, oh, you just let people go if they're in a bit of a rush. But then we watched them as they went further down, and that's where I saw them undertake and overtake. Understood. At the same time, two separate cars. And then a few more went past. And there was about, I'd say, between four or five cars, and they seemed to be in a, like, doing their own little gumball rally.
And I suppose this is why there's so many Garda appeals, like, how many collisions happen whereby they've been caused by this type of driving activity, that the person who's been undertaken or whatever drives off, races off, and leaves carnage behind them? You know, I mean, how often does... We don't know. I hope I'm not being dramatic, but, you know, we don't know the consequences of this type of driving, but you're not going to get away from it. Jerry, you've been on the road long enough. You know yourself as I do. If you take risks, it's only a matter of time. It catches up on you, and that's why most of us don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of these young... Well, whether they are young drivers or they're just like idiots on the road, there's probably a lot of them who say they see an accident in the rearview mirror, but they've probably been the cause of it. But anyway, Greg, it's been lovely to talk to you.
See you back soon, Jerry. Take care. Thanks very much indeed. Jerry Flynn there talking about dangerous driving. Right, Paul is with us. Good morning, Paul. Thanks for your time today.
Morning, Greg. Thank you.
You sent us in some pictures of bins in and around, is it Buncrana or Inishowen more generally, and the bins are full and there is a lot of rubbish put alongside them. What's going on?
Yeah, well, the main street of Buncrana, this was last Friday morning, And there seems to be some discussions going on between the council and the guys who were contracted to sweep the streets and to empty the bins. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, although I can appreciate the expense and the budgets and things like that, I think that the Buncrana deserves the main street to be kept clean at least in the mornings for bins to be emptied. You know, it's not rocket science that in the winter time it wouldn't be as needed as much, but definitely in the summertime and definitely with the weather we had this last week, mm-hmm. it is very disheartening to see wrappers lying around bins. Now, the bins aren't adequate probably for what's going into them. There is an assumption, and it's probably true, that some local residents are probably using them for domestic purposes. But, you know, two rights don't make a wrong
It'd
here.
It'd be very hard, though, would it not, to use that small opening for domestic purposes in any sort of uniform way, no?
Well, you'd be surprised now, because I would be situated on the main street.
Okay, right.
And you can see people slowing down, and they might have a wee trolley with them, and they could throw out half a dozen little bags or tins, you know. So I do appreciate the council will come back with that. But, you know, as I say, two rounds don't make a right. We need to keep Buncrana Main Street
okay,
tidy.
Okay, now, broadly
the tidy,
speaking in
the
your
tidy
pictures...
The tidy towns are doing a great job.
Yeah, Paul, you know. Broadly speaking in your pictures, the streets do look clean. And it seems that there's some organisation to this rubbish being placed at the bin. What is happening? Are people who are littering leaving their stuff beside the bin? Or is this stuff being located there as part of the cleanup? Because, as I say... You know, the pictures, Buncrana does look nice and clean in them, bar these bins that you've sent us.
Yeah. But what I understand is that the contract initially with the cleaner was two people, the guy who drove the lorry and the guy who used a sweeper behind and who emptied the bins. Now, the expense seems to have gone up so much that, you know, they don't now have the guy who will empty the bins. Mm. So the sweeper will sweep the street. And then the council are coming round later on in a small low loader truck with two or three men and are emptying the bins. But okay. Are they doing it daily? Or are they doing it like last week when they were tortured by local businesses on the main street? Because people at least left the rubbish beside the bin. Mm. But the bin must not have been emptied the day before, which meant Friday was such a busy and warm day that the bins filled up very, very
quickly.
But we
know when places are going to be busy. We need to be able to be adaptive. We need to be able to adapt to the conditions. We know when our beaches, you know, when Downing's, Rosnala, Merva, and elsewhere, we know when there's going to be a lot of people around there. We know when people are going to go to the pier in Buncrana and jump off the pier. We know when Buncrana, Donegal Town, Killybegs are going to be busy. We need to be, and I think you wanted to make the point too about commercial rates, because, you know, the fronts of the businesses in Buncrana look absolutely wonderful. As I say, the streets are clean, but, you know, if you had one of these bins located outside your premises, you're looking at it going, well, what am I paying for? And I think I'm not making that point. I think that's the point that you wanted to make.
Yeah, well, the point about the rates is, like, you know, Donegal County Council, they turned around to say that they had a record collection rates, let alone then services are being cut. And, you know, it's all right saying that the councillors will come back to you. There's a budget each year. But that led me to be thinking of an active Chamber of Commerce again. And that's where this article is leading to. That you in Buncrana here, you know, you've got tidy towns, you've St. Patrick's Day, you've got St. Vincent de Paul, you've Children's Charity, you've Sports Club, you've the Inishowen Credit Union, you've Kids Group, Senior Citizens Groups. A lot of things are being represented by volunteers, let alone we have probably about 200 businesses, and there's no grouping that's representing them that is providing the biggest amount of this money to the Donegal County Council.
But can I say, it's not, can I make the argument though, and it is only just for the sake of conversation, it's not a Chamber of Commerce, surely it's a return of Buncrana Town Council, where they had control over budgets such as maybe, I don't know, looking after bins, maintenance of green areas. I recall when the town councils were abolished, a lot of those ring-fenced funds then went into the county-wide coffers. That was a controversy at the time. So I'm not saying a Chamber of Commerce is not effective. They would just be a lobby group, because you can't ask them to pay more, can you? It's a town council where there is adequate funding to serve the needs of what is the county's second or biggest seaside town. You know what I mean? That's surely the what would be beneficial. No, Paul, what do you think?
Well, you know, that's good in the long scheme of things, but you're talking about a national thing there, because you know you're not going to get a Buncrana Town Council and no other town council. And the way that politics, in my mind, works is they go at a very slow pace.
Yes, that is quite
business,
true.
Business pace is completely different. I'm in business 28 years. If I need something done, I lift the phone, I organise it with the proper man, I get him to do it, and I pay him, and we move on. Mm-hmm. So if you have a lobby group, and that's what we're talking about here, it's a lobby group, not somebody to annoy and to give out and to argue, but there's a lot of issues that's going on around Buncrana that the Buncrana business people see. That doesn't say it to people in Lifford or Letterkenny and these councils. They don't see that.
Yeah.
And one of the things which was sort of a coincidence today was the Mull Bridge. There's an article in the newspaper in the Inishon Independent. That issue should have been sorted out years ago, before you were allowed to put in Lidl, Aldi, Cubert McLaughlin's place, the doctor's surgeries, the new medical care centre. You know, the first thing you do when you do business is you get access in. And you get adequate parking. Mm. You know, there's a whole lot of things.
So, as a business person, as a business person, are you floating the idea of the resurrection of an active Chamber of Commerce now?
Yeah.
Would you be prepared to get involved and, you know, work with others to orchestrate it?
I, over the years, was involved in a lot of volunteering between the festival, between St. Patrick's Day. I'm currently on the board of the National Credit Union. And I was a founder member of the original Chamber of Commerce, which was over 20 years ago. And I served 7 years on that and left it in a good place. Now, I'm coming to the end of my working years, but there's a lot of young ones out there who are starting. And I would be prepared to coordinate and to try to get people together who have the right ideas for Buncrana. Mm. At the end of the day, this is our town, and I'm not getting into the you know, asylum seekers or anything like that, or MICA or anything like that. This is business. This is the business people working together, helping each other out. We do it ourselves as regards if I need a favour done from another business person. I have no problem ringing. They have no problem ringing me. But we need to get it together, and we need to get it coordinated. And then you have a strong lobby group that when it comes to the bins, it's this is what these guys see, because they see it every day of the week.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore too. Yeah, it's hard to ignore to a group of individuals or a collective of those who are contributing greatly through rates and what have you. It would be hard to ignore their voice if they're saying, look, we as 50 businesses in Buncrana need these bins changed. So I see exactly where you're coming from, Paul. And of course, you can reflect on your previous work with a Buncrana Chamber of Commerce and know that's the case. All right, listen, it'll be interesting. Keep us updated if the likes of this conversation triggers a movement in that direction. I do appreciate your time. I had an incident at Woodlands in Letterkenny while dropping my grandson off to creche. A red Ford Focus came straight across the road at me. I never got the reg. To avoid it, I hit the ditch, and now my car is all scratched. I got some fright. Driving in Donegal has just got so irresponsible. And, you know, if there were isolated incidents, and maybe these are a series of isolated incidents, you wouldn't take note, but we're getting so many calls from people, very serious, dangerous driving instances, and a lot of other reports of issues on the roads as well. A caller believes we need more unmarked Garda cars on the roads. That doesn't make, that makes so much sense, wasn't it? I mean, because we see all of this, you know, we see it all. I was coming in the four lanes yesterday and a car weaving in and out of traffic going faster than the speed limit. Everyone was going a little bit faster than it seemed. But anyway, he or she was going in and out, weaving in and out and out. Really dangerous. Every day, it's every day. I just watch on at these things. I wouldn't be the most sort of, you know, getting angry at it or judging, being very judgy on it. But, you know, you see it every day. The 11-minute space trip is a distraction from bad government locally and nationally. I think, did we read that one already, or did you also say, I think that person's just replaced Rory McIlroy running with a distraction from bad government locally and nationally. Again, I'll say the same thing. we have to, and we try and do it on this show as much as possible. We have to also look at other things, and nice things happen too. Rory winning was brilliant, says a listener. I didn't think the Taoiseach had tears in his eyes when talking. Okay, that's fine. As I said, it was in the background. But when he made the comment about falling and getting up, I thought exactly the same as you, Greg. Easter and Jesus falling with the cross. You're absolutely right, Greg. Read the Katy Perry and co going into space. The world is badly divided for sure. So much money squandered that could be used otherwise makes me so angry. Greg, you're right. All the money the elite used to create space cartoons could be better utilised to feed people who are hungry or help children in need. Like, I put yourself in the position of a billionaire. And, you know, Elon Musk and the other book, what's his name, Jeff Bezos, they're in a space race. Elon Musk's talking about planting humans on Mars. And the other book, he's sending these celebrity women into space. Like, if those guys got together and said, right, you know, let's pick a country or something. Let's pick a country, maybe one that's not ravaged by war or what have you. Not that those people are less needy, but even just as an experiment, something that's less complicated. And go in and help children who are sick with cancer, who don't have access to medicine, or children who don't have any food or don't have access to antibiotics or what have you. Like, can you imagine? I could not happily sleep at night with 500 billion and not do stuff like that. I really couldn't. And yet these people are held up as the saviours of humanity. That's what really irks me. It's as if that they are, you know, they've got your back. The amount of people come out to bat for these boys on social media. People like me don't have two shillings to rub together saying, oh, Elon and Jeff, you know, they know what's what if people listen to them. And they're laughing. They're laughing at us because they're making the money off our backs. Mark Zuckerberg there, you heard on the news, what he's doing effectively, you know, there's an AI race too. They all want the money from artificial intelligence, but you have to train it. It has to learn. And he's going to use your Facebook and your Instagram posts to teach his artificial intelligence on this free service where you're the product. That's what Twitter X does. They use people's personal information and comments and even direct messages to teach artificial intelligence. And yet these people are seen as some sort of heroes where they're using you. You're doing the work for them. The department should investigate all carers and disabled people, says a listener, to support them and give them what they need. It seems to be that the government only want to take away allowances, not add them on. Right, OK, I'm going to go back to John. I do have to take... No, I don't have to take a break, actually. That's good. I can go straight to John. John, thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning, John. How's things?
I'm doing good.
Great. Good morning. How are you?
All right, John, don't worry about that. You're concerned about the Lough Inniu area. What's going on? What do you think needs looking at?
Well, we're about to kick off now into the summertime with the Gaeltacht students coming to Lough Inniu and to a lot of wee small villages in Donegal. And it's a couple of points I'd like to make, Greg. Is the first one in particular is for the Lough Inniu area, because that's where I live, and I'm only after, it's nearly after happening to myself. The students there at the minute, and driving down the road, and only because I'm doing the very well under the speed limit, the young fella came out of the school gate on his phone and just stepped onto the road, and I mean, I had to lock up, I had to completely lock up on the road.
Yeah.
But if you're normally sitting at that petrol station, Greg, I mean, if you were a guard, you could be able to retire at the end of the week, for nobody comes through that town at the sensible speed.
Mm.
But especially now, coming in now to the summertime where the Gaeltacht students are going to be about, it's for the drivers and for people to be a wee bit more cautious. That's my first point, is in terms of the speed aspect of it. But the second point, Greg, is the Gaeltacht students themselves, a wee bit more education in terms, I know they're learning the Gaelic, the Irish, but I think it'd be a great wee thing to explain to them a bit more of the road safety. They're not in a city, they're not in a town, there's no pavements, it's not got the same luxury as they do coming from maybe the places they're coming from, such as Belfast area or Galway or whatever. But the thing is when they're in, sometimes the roads I'd be on, you go over wee narrow single road tracks, and you go over hidden dips, and there'd be a line of them across the road.
Yeah.
A full line of them across the road. And I'm telling you, it's only a matter of time before a child's killed. And I'm telling you now, it's only a matter of time, because Again, it's just a lack of education. They're not aware. They're thinking it's a wee narrow road. There's not many cars. It doesn't take many cars for it to cause a severe accident.
And they probably come down thinking it's a cute wee local place where everyone's really relaxed. 100%. And, yeah, okay. And that's, yeah, we know exactly. That's not the reality. Yeah.
And the last wee thing on that, but at the last, everybody's there 9 times out of 10 either for a week or 2 weeks. Mm. But I do think on the last week, as part of the curriculum, I think they should be made to walk the wee roads that they're staying in, the houses that they're staying out in. I think they should be made to walk those roads with bin bags and litter pickers. Again, not aware of the, we don't have the luxury of people coming behind them with sweepers and we don't have the luxury of having maybe so many bins and so on and so forth. And you only see the amount of rubbish sometimes in the summertime. After the leave and through the bushes and through the thing, and you know yourself, I get it, I understand, we've all been kids, you open a nice lolly and it's all sticky and stuff like that, you don't want to carry that to the nearest bin, but a wee bit of education on that side of it, and maybe take them all round on the last week to educate them, do that a couple of summers and then you'll not have to do it, but I just think it's about education, but that's definitely the road aspect of it. Lochinure in itself, it has a death trap. You could sit there on any day of the week. A guard could honestly retire after 1 week in Lochinure, for there nobody comes through that town at the speed.
Because it's a good road. It's a sweeping road, isn't it?
That's good, Greg. You know it well. So it's a good road. It's a good sweeping road. But the problem is, 9 times out of 10, you come out of a petrol station, and I hit a guy coming. I was coming out of the petrol station, and I looked and I checked twice. The guy must have been flying, because when I went to go, he was right on top of me and him blowing the horn, to the point that I got out of the car and said, what speed were you doing? Do you know this is a 30? Mm. And he just sat back in the car, because that's the type of person I am. I'm one of these conventional people. I'll have it out with them. I'm like, no, hold on a minute. If you were doing more of a sensible speed, you wouldn't be panicking. So at situations like that, I would just like to bring to people's attention. Because you hate the thought of somebody getting hurt, or even worse, you know what I mean?
No, especially when the warning's out there, John. All good. Not sure about the litter picking, what people might think about that. But we'll throw it out there and see what the crack is. It's no harm. I've got no problem with that, but sure, we'll see.
I think, you know what, Greg, again, it's a lovely, beautiful wee place, and if you know the area, it's gorgeous. Mm. And you've got that lake now. If we were in Britain, that lake would be a gold mine, because there'd be wee kayaks in it, there'd be pedalos in it, that'd be a wee boom. But it's a beautiful wee place, and the people around it, they love it, they keep it well, and it's well looked after. But you hate to see, as I said, the mess that bees left after such things. And I just think it'd be part of the education side of it as well, but make it a bit of a fun factor, you know, just going, right, we're going up the road now, this is your last day today, up and down the road once, and then we're just going to lift all the rubbish that's in the sides of the roads. Because, as I said, if you go up and down the road through the winter, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So it's only just an educational side. And as I said, we've all been there, Greg. You open a nice lolly someplace in here, and it's all sticking, it's all over your hands. You know, you're in a bad place. So I do get it. So that's just my point. But thanks very much for hearing.
Thanks for coming on. Great to chat to you. Thank you very much indeed, John. Proud Lochinure man, obviously. If you agree or disagree, 086 60 25,000. That is the WhatsApp and the text number. I read last week about councillors complaining about ramps in Glencar. I certainly agree. You could get seasick, as some are very big. Recently, my wife had breast surgery, and every time we went over these ramps, it hurt her. Why should she and anybody else who has surgery have to suffer more agony? Please lower the ramps. And I'll trust your local knowledge. Would those ramps be as effective if they were lower? Do they have to be as high as they are? Because obviously, you know, you've got some areas they're screaming out for some sort of traffic calming measures, if you know what I'm saying. Having had a family member spend 13 hours in the ED over the last few days, I have to ask the question as to why nothing is being done about the type of seating there. Sitting on steel chairs when you're sick and sore is not right. I put the same text into your show the last time the hospital manager was on with you, and he said that they were working on changing them. I'd like to ask him, would he sit on a steel chair for a few days? They were supposed to be getting cushions for them. I don't know if the cushions went missing, if they ever appeared. Is it possible that they went missing? I don't know. But anyway, the cushions were either to be made available or applied to the seats to make them more comfortable. But I don't know. I think those seats, not in the Letterkenny sense, but I think those seats are designed almost to be uncomfortable in different environments so that you don't lie in them or sit too long on them. I'm not sure. I think they look very similar to seats in different spaces that that's the motivation. Sligo Hospital have two bedroom rooms for families of patients. There are two bungalows based on the grounds. This was a number of years ago. And it cost my wife €25 to stay there for the night. It's a great service to have. Is it still there? Do people avail of that? It wouldn't have suited our guest earlier on, Tony, wasn't it? Because I'm not sure. That sounds like it's specific for younger people. I could be wrong in that regard. As a parent, we travel to Dublin with our child. I am not confident in driving down and parking is a disaster. The bus is essential for us, but it does seem a bit mad. There's only a small difference in the price of an adult and a child ticket. A reduced rate or pass for those with long-term conditions would make it a little easier for a lot of families. There used to be buses for the hospitals in Dublin when you have to travel for the services. It would be great to have one less thing to worry about. My daughter attends hospital in Dublin. We have to take her down by car due to infection. €90 on diesel. M1 toll and M50 toll is €20. Parking €20 per day, plus loss of wages. No clean toilets from here to Dublin. There, but for the grace of God, go many of us. You know, and as we heard earlier on, you'd do anything for your children, of course. But lost wages, £90 on diesel, £20 on tolls, that's £110, £20 on parking, £130, plus the money you're down. And this is just to get the same level of healthcare that someone in Stony Batter can get. Listening to that man talking about taking children for appointments in hospital, they may be able to use Bumbalance. I did fundraising for this charity last year, and apparently a lot of parents didn't know about it. It is a free service for sick children. Is that also, is it for ongoing care? We can and dig that out and find out what the story is there. A caller says the Garda should be on the streets at night in Letterkenny to stop groups attacking people. And another, hi Greg, this seems to be a growing trend where people are driving with small dogs on their knees. Can be very highly distracting. Small dogs on your knees driving? My word, a sandwich is bad enough and we wouldn't condone any of it. Okay, listen, that's where we have to leave it on the show today. Wedge Show, thanks so much for all the texts. We'll get to any we missed tomorrow. Have a great day. We're back at 9 o'clock on Wednesday.